If I had been smart and thinking ahead and not had last-minute ideas, I would have prepared an ID card for you today. And I mean, you know, we carry our business cards, we carry our driver's licenses, we have our school IDs. I can still tell you my college school ID number. You don't need to hear it this morning. I can give you the numbers off of most of the cards that I've carried in my wallet just out of my head at this point in time. I can't hardly believe that. What I can't get right now is the new Washington driver's license one. I haven't memorized that one yet. You know, I had the old one. That was easy, but not really. It was complicated, but I had it memorized since I was 16 years old. Friends, where we are today, is it a place where we need to be rightly identified with the Lord Jesus Christ? In some times past, I've talked about how my identity is so connected to what I look like. I mean, we look at each other and we see one another, and we know instantly and immediately who that person is. We are so grateful for that opportunity. I mean, of the billions of faces that have gone and crossed the land that is the world, that is the globe, over all of these years, we're able to recognize one another. We're able to look and to see in the face and in the eyes and in the shape of each face the person who is behind that face. And we identify them by that. We know them because of that. And my friends, I think if there's anything that strikes me more from the verse of 2 Corinthians 5:17 is that final phrase that says, look, or behold, that says, behold, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Look. Pay attention. And my friends, today, I believe that is what we want to get to today. We want to get to in our lives that when people look and they see us, they are going to say, look, that person has been changed by the person of Jesus Christ, by the grace, by the blood, by the power, by the death, by his burial, and by his resurrection. That person is different. He is new. He is a new creation and a new creature in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Well, you'll remember toward the end of our time together last Sunday morning that I said, well, I'm not going to finish this sermon. And so we're coming back to that as we conclude this whole idea of following Christ and remembering him. And this in particular is going to be a conversation about the part of being identified with the Lord Jesus Christ. We've already talked about baptism. We said last week that it wasn't something that is necessary for salvation, but it is a part of our being connected with Jesus. It's a part of our walk of obedience. The Lord Jesus gave us these two things to observe in the life of the church. We call them ordinances. And we have this opportunity to both follow him and remember him. He said, follow me. And when he said, follow me, he said, I have been baptized. You must be baptized. And as we move along, we want to remember then that he came to the approach to the cross. And there he was in the upper room with his disciples. And he instituted the Lord's Supper. And he said, do this in remembrance of me. Remember me. Follow me. And as we consider this morning, we're going to move to that last passage of Scripture that I had assigned for last week's message, but it's from Romans chapter 6. And we're going to read together verses 1 through 11. Because here, I think what we see is that we are baptized as we are identified with Christ. We are baptized and rightly identified with Christ through our baptism. We are saved by his grace, by his blood, as he poured himself out upon the cross. We are given life everlasting because we have believed in him and we have chosen to turn away from our sinful way. But we are identified with Christ then. After we are saved, we are identified with him through our testimony of baptism, his death, his burial, his resurrection. And so as we look at this a little more in depth today with Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. Actually, I'm going to read verses 1 through 14. But Romans chapter 6, 1 through 14, we see that we are identified with the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't think that as Christians, we should live in that place where we're afraid to be recognized as identified with Christ. I know as a truth, partly from periods of time in my own life, or even not even periods of time, but perhaps a brief moment, that there are times that we get a little anxious about someone looking at us and say, oh, he's a Christian. He's one of those. He's identified with Christ. But my friends, we as the children of God, as the followers of Jesus Christ, as those who are commanded to go and make disciples, need to be ready to be identified by others around us as being with Jesus. You remember that Peter, in the courtyard while Jesus was being tried and tested, as Peter was there and around the fire, people were identifying him as having been with Jesus. And he denied it. He cursed when he denied it. And he moved through this time then of grief and guilt about that experience. But as we consider that today, I want us to come to a fresh and clear understanding that there should never be a time in your life or mine where we should be afraid of being identified with Christ. We should wear our Christianity with boldness, with gladness, with an intentionality about making a difference in the lives of other people around us. And so, as we read these verses, consider what it means for you. Romans 6, beginning verse 1. What should we say then? Should we continue in sin so that grace may multiply? Absolutely not. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Or are you unaware that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in the likeness of his death, we will certainly also be in the likeness of his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be rendered powerless, so that we may no longer be enslaved to sin. Since a person who has died is freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe also that we will live with him, because we know that Christ, having been raised from the dead, will not die again. Death no longer rules over him. For the death he died to sin once for all time. But the life he lives to God. So, you too consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its desires. And do not offer any parts of it to sin as weapons for unrighteousness, but as those who are alive from the dead, offer yourselves to God, and all the parts of yourselves to God as weapons for righteousness. For sin will not rule over you, because you are not under the law, but under grace. Let's pray together. Lord, as we move through this time together, may it be that each of our hearts will be awakened, and in some cases reawakened, to that newness of the difference that Christ makes in our life. Lord, may we be, as we go from this place today, happy to wear the name of Jesus, pleased to be considered worthy, though we cannot be, but to be considered and declared worthy and have the righteousness of Christ so that we can go into the world as an ambassador for our Savior, Jesus Christ. And Lord Jesus, may it be that we would be so rightly identified through your death, through your burial, and through your resurrection, that it will be obvious to those around us that even as Galatians 2 says, it's not us, it's not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. There is no better place to be in the Christian walk other than in that place where it is indeed Christ who is living in us. Lord, help us to be yielded to you in that way today. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' holy name. Amen and amen. So, as I had begun preparation for this several weeks ago, I had no idea, it just didn't cross my mind that if I looked ahead and saw what Men of Simplicity were going to be looking at last Monday night, that, you know, sure enough, Brother Mike Thibodeau was going to be teaching in Men of Simplicity, Romans 6, 1 through 11. Now, my focus is going to be slightly different from his, although it's the scripture, so it's really not different. But what I want us to focus on in this tonight, or today, is that that in each one of these verses, we discover something fresh about our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so those things that are fresh as we walk with him, I want us to hear them and I want us to remember them and live in the reality of those things as we move forward. In Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 14. And first of all, I just want to say that in that first portion, we've got those first two verses that ask this question. And in some way, it seems really silly to ask this question. Should we continue in sin so that grace may abound? We teach that God's grace is amazing, it's awesome, it's magnificent, it's boundless. I mean, we sing songs with all of those words attached, all right? And that his grace is enough and it's more than enough and all of those kinds of things along the way. We sing these songs, we teach these principles. But should we continue in sin so that the abounding grace of Christ would be evident and at work continually in our lives? And the answer to that, of course, is may it never be. Absolutely not. The Apostle Paul in Galatians answers that even again. And in one of those statements and in some of the translations, I'm not sure, it may be NIV, I just remember it from years ago of study. There is one of those that says, God forbid. Absolutely not. May it never be. God forbid that we should continue in sin so that grace may multiply. Absolutely not. How can we who died to sin still choose to live in it? Now, sin will creep in. Sin will hound you. And you may yield to that temptation from time to time. You're not going to hear me say, well, that's okay. No big deal. We need to understand that sin is sin, and it's always an offense to God. And if it's an offense to God, we ought to accept it in our personal lives as an offense, because it is Christ who lives in me. And yet, if we confess, let's be encouraged and let's have peace. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He speaks this to the church there in 1 John chapter 1, or wherever it is. It's 1 John. And 1 John 1:9. And as we consider that, we want to remember that as we have died to sin, we should consider it dead in us. What should we say? No, we should not continue, so that we could receive more and more and more and more and more grace. So are you unaware, in verse 3 says, are you unaware that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? And friends, we have died to sin. That's the first thing that we want to remember as we go into the world today. We have died to sin. Now, there will be something that might catch your eye and you will be tempted by it. There will be something that will happen and your attitude will change, and you might become grumpy because of, who knows, it might be another driver. It might just be somebody in your family. Who knows? But you will be tempted. We all have that reality of living in these bodies of flesh, that we will from time to time receive temptation. It's going to come. But we don't have to always dwell in the reality of that. We don't need to let temptation lead us into sin. I mean, that's its purpose. That's what the devil had in mind when he put the temptation out in front of you, that you would be led into sin and that you would be displeasing to your Father and that you would, you know, make Him unhappy. But that's his problem. He may continue to bring those temptations up, but you have the opportunity to resist that temptation. And we need to be careful to do that. We have died to sin. We have been baptized into Christ Jesus, meaning that we have been baptized into His death. That's the first part of the baptism experience. We are buried with Him in baptism. We are placed under the water. That's why immersion is such the perfect expression of baptism. Those who baptize with other forms of sprinkling or pouring water totally miss the point. It's not baptism. I'm sorry. It's just not baptism. Baptism, the word baptizo from the Greek, means to plunge under the water. To plunge under the water. And that's what baptism is. That's the physical expression of baptism. So my friends, today we want to continue to promote that's what it's all about. And there we have the beginning of the picture, when the person is plunged under the water, that they have been buried with Christ, and they have died with Him, and they have been buried with Him, and they have died to sin. That's what the first part of your baptism was all about. It was a testimony that you have died to sin. You said, I believe in Jesus Christ. I repent of my sin. I'm going to leave it behind. I am no longer going to be driven by it, because I now have received the gift of life through Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, and His Spirit now dwells in me to give me life. Friends, today, we have died to sin. That's where baptism begins. And then we've been baptized with Christ. We've been baptized into His death. But just as Christ was raised from the dead, we are raised to walk in the newness of life. Just as He was raised from the dead, we are raised to walk in the newness of life. And so we come up out of the water, and we have this wonderful picture, this wonderful image, that no, the preacher didn't bury people for good. He brings them up. And of course, that's just because we have the privilege of performing that. But the reality is that when we have been buried with Christ and baptized, we are raised to walk in the newness of the life that we have in Jesus Christ. That's why we are baptized. It is one of those things that helps us to be rightly identified with Jesus. A person who has not been baptized by immersion, I will not question the person's Christianity. I will not question the person's faith, but they've just gotten some bad teaching and missed the boat if they thought that being sprinkled or having water poured over them was enough. That it really was a clear identifier in their experience. Now, am I going to go around and tell everybody every time I find somebody who got poured on that, well, I guess you haven't really been baptized? I'm probably not going to let that be a point of fellowship with someone who is not intending to be a part of the body that we call North Addison Baptist Church. I might take it as an opportunity to teach. I might try to help them see that what we do in our fellowship when we lower someone under the water, it's a picture of that baptism being identified with Jesus. And when we bring them up out of the water, it's a picture of that joyful reality of the resurrection of Christ and what he produces in us, and even pointing to the resurrection which will come for all those who have died in the Lord. Friends, we have died to sin. We've been baptized into Christ and into his death. We've also been raised to walk, raised from the dead, as it were. Yes, raised from the dead to walk in the newness of life, being that new creation, that new creature. And so, as Romans 6 goes on, it tells us that we are united with Jesus in the likeness of his death, and also united with him in the likeness of his resurrection. You see, there's something important for the Christian to remember. That number one, they, in choosing baptism and being obedient to Christ in this way, have identified with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. But there's also that reality of knowing that we have been united with Christ. We have fellowship with him. We have been united with him. We have become one with Christ and all of those who have put their trust and their faith in him. And we also not only are united with him in his death, we are united with him in the likeness of his resurrection. Oh, glory to God. Do you understand what it means to be like Jesus? Do you get that being like Jesus really is what we exist for now? I get it. I don't understand enough to do it perfectly. But I am intentional and purposeful, and I hope that in my life I will day after day continue to grow in the ability to be like Jesus. I shared with you not long ago that was the theme of the Friday night large group fellowship of the Baptist Student Ministries at WSU when I was a student there, nearing 50 years ago. To be like Jesus. Isn't it something that you and I could walk from this room and from this building today and go into our worlds with the theme resonating on our hearts and our minds to be like Jesus? That's what I'm here for. That's what I want to do. That's what I am. I want to be like Jesus, and this is my purpose. We go from here. My purpose is to be like Jesus. We know that he has called us to that. We know that he is enough for us and helps us in that process. So we are no longer enslaved by sin. We have been freed from sin. So what happens when we sin? We're no longer enslaved. unless we go choose to place a chain upon ourselves. But we really have no need to think that we cannot live free from sin. Our brains, we have to reprogram our minds. How do we reprogram our minds? We reprogram our minds by spending time in God's Word, reading the Bible, filling our hearts and our minds with the Bible. One of the best recovery programs I ever saw personally was the Safe Ministries that was put together by a man named Troy Smith, not the one that you know. A man named Troy Smith who planted a church in inner city Portland. And in that experience, he discovered that he couldn't plant a church without having a recovery ministry in inner city Portland. And in the doing of that, as he studied and as he prepared this ministry that he developed, and he called it Setting Addicts Free Eternally, Safe Ministries, he came up with this truth and became convicted by it, and I became convicted as I learned and listened to him. I became convicted that the only thing that's going to change a person's life, whether they are addicted to substances or whether they are just simply caught up in an otherwise sinful lifestyle, the only thing that's going to change your life is the Word of God. And so the principles that were the foundation of Safe Ministries were that we would saturate ourselves in Scripture, and that we would be so saturated with that that it would really overcome and take the place of those things which we had previously chosen to saturate ourselves with. Some saturate themselves with drugs. Some saturate themselves with alcohol. Some saturate themselves with pornography. Some saturate themselves with just other materialism. Some saturate themselves with their work. And my friends, today, if we cannot bring glory to God in any part of our lives, in some part of our lives, we need to let that part of our lives become saturated with the Word of God. And we need to let that happen. And, you know, when we are tempted, it's so good to know that there is a God who has given us an escape from sin. There is no temptation that has overtaken you. Yeah, sometimes it comes and it overtakes. There is no temptation that has overtaken you, but such as is common to mankind. But God is faithful, and with the temptation, he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape. You see, that's the difference between a Christian who's found himself in sin and a sinner who's not met Christ yet. It's the one who doesn't know Jesus really doesn't know the escape. He doesn't know how to get out. And friends, today, we who know Jesus have an escape. We have a way out. We have an opportunity. And simply, in its simplest form, it's to put our eyes and our trust on Jesus. I know it oftentimes doesn't feel that simple. Okay, I get that. But in its simplest form, it's to get your eyes back on Jesus and saturate your heart and your mind and your life with the Word of God. Because you see, when we do that, then we can truly live as dead to sin and alive to God in Christ, no longer enslaved by sin. I'd like us to take just a quick look now. I know we could preach in Romans 6 a long time, but I'd like us to take a minute and look at Colossians chapter 2, because here is one more very clear statement about this reality of being raised with Christ. Colossians 2, verses 12 and 13. Here the word says, "When you were buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive with him and forgave us all our trespasses." He erased the certificate of debt with its obligations that was against us and opposed to us, and has taken it away by nailing it to the cross. Friends, that's what it means to be saved. That's what it means to have the life of Christ. We have been buried with him in baptism. We have been raised with him through faith in God, through Christ. And we now have been dead in our trespasses, made alive with him, and forgiven. You know, some folks, the most important word that they need to hear today is forgiven. Because when we come face to face in the reality of and knowing what sin is in our lives, we are overwhelmed with grief and guilt. But the promise of the cross, as it says here in verse 13 or 14, he erased the certificate of debt with its obligations that was against us and opposed to us, and has taken it away by nailing it to the cross. Friends, we are forgiven through the sacrifice of Jesus. We identify with Jesus in obedience through baptism. I trust that perhaps for some, this has made things a little bit more clear. The tragedy would be that I came and just confused you all. But I trust that as you have heard these things from God's word, that you have come to a clearer understanding of what happened when you went through the waters of baptism, of what happened when you put your faith and your trust in Jesus. For you have received eternal life, and that is yours. It belongs to you. There is victory when we walk by faith in that. And there is a way to continually walk in repentance and in the grace of Christ, though we should never choose that it is a license for sin. His grace is enough for you. Let's pray. Lord, today, sometimes we wonder, as we come to this moment, just what is it that needs to take place in my life today? What changes can be made? What should I do because of this? And Lord, more than anything else, I would encourage our people here today to live in such a way as to demonstrate that we are dead to sin, but that we are also alive in Christ and alive to the work that he has called us to, and alive to that proclamation of the gospel for people, and that we would be rightly identified, that our spiritual ID would clearly and boldly say, I belong to Jesus. It is my goal to be like Jesus. It is my heart's desire to help you to know Jesus. That our spiritual ID would be wrapped up in that completely. Lord, may we not just think that we are spiritual people who are saved, but may we also be consumed by this new ID card, this new way of being known, that others will know that Jesus lives. Thank you, Lord, for these things. We praise you and we worship you in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.